And I mean, we're all part of this community and we're all part of forming the future of it. And I mean, we can decide, do we want it to be sharp elbows and ego, or have we had enough of that in the rest of our lives? And can we make this a place where that's not the way we do it? And I think at the moment, that's where we're at. And as long as, I mean, it's the community that shapes the community.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a Swim Run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris. And this is episode 86 of the show, coming to you not live from Studio G,
the garage.
This week, this might be our best show. I mean, I know we've said that before.
We have.
It just might be. We're honored to have Michael Lamel, co-founder of Atala, on the show this week. We had a great conversation that covered a lot of ground where we looked back over the 15-year history of the race that started it all, Atala, the Swim Run World Championship, and the 16-year history of Atala as a company. And we look forward to see what the future holds for Swim Run around the world. It was pretty cool.
It was a great interview.
Pretty cool.
Very good.
He's great. But first,
training updates. So we've officially kicked off our training block for the Odyssey Swim Run Orcas Island.
We have.
With conviction, they said. Coming up at the end of September here. So we know it's all about the hills. Luckily, here in the Bay Area, there is no shortage of mountains for us to run up and down. On Saturday, we ran one of our old favorites, Chris's, I don't know, probably done it 50 plus times, the Ninja Loop. So if you're in the Bay Area, check out the Ninja Loop on Saturday. It's a local trail runner favorite, and we'll be hitting that loop multiple times before race day. We have another hilly trail run on the books this weekend. But that's a fun kind of benchmarky run that we've done a couple times through our endurance lives of like, okay, we'll run the Ninja Loop, and then 2 weeks later, we'll see how we can kind of whittle that time down. So it's a good little, it's a fun one to do.
Yeah, and if you're in a Strava club in April, I think, I did one every week for a month just to kind of go out there because I really do love the Ninja Loop.
It's fantastic. It has everything.
It has everything. Never gets easy.
Now for this week's shout-outs.
All right.
Multiple.
Yeah. So the long S there. All right. This week we're shouting out two people, Caroline Wolek and Patrick Reagan. These two people are just amazing human beings. They won the Odyssey Legend Award as voted by the participants, the race participants of Casco Bay a few weeks ago. This award shines a spotlight on athletes who embody the spirit of swim run, putting others above self, spreading positive energy to other racers, taking action when faced with adversity. And Caroline and Patrick are well deserving of this recognition. I think Patrick was responsible for bringing a ton of people out to race. And Caroline, we mentioned this in our race recap. She had an unfortunate experience where she got her goggles broken at Catalina in 2020. And since then, as usually happens, now you start wearing a backup pair of goggles just in case, putting it in your kit somewhere. So came to our attention that Jonathan Story of Team
Ippy,
me, and Timothy had broken his goggles. He was telling everyone that would
listen,
look like, even
just
if you weren't a swim runner.
The guy broke my goggles. I broke my goggles.
I mean, anybody that had goggles, he was going to take them. And we knew that Caroline had some on her, so we told him to look out for her. And she, without any hesitation, just gave them to him.
Turned him right over.
Which is great. She's awesome. Patrick's awesome. Congratulations, guys.
And I love this new award that Odyssey's giving out.
Yeah.
With a nice little hand-drawn art piece of art.
Cool.
Way
classy
to be. Very swim run vibe. Now for this week's feats of endurance.
Yeah.
So this week goes out to longtime friend of the show, Nate Budziak. Nate ran the Waldo 100K over the weekend, which is a 100K trail run, so 61 miles, with 11,000 feet of elevation gain. He finished in 16th place overall, turned in a sub 13-hour performance.
Bravo, Nate.
I know you've been working really hard, and we've been seeing the runs logging up, going up Mission Peak in his new San Jose home. So he's practicing that vert. So we've been seeing that on the Strava Club. Nate's in the Low Tide Boys Strava Club, which is where he won the Feats of Endurance. So be sure to jump in there and join your fellow swim runners from all around the world to train for swim runs, 100K trail runs, century bike rides, adventures, and life. Kudos away. people get in the Strava Club. Almost 300 members.
Almost 300.
We're teetering on the cusp.
Crazy.
Now for this week in swim run.
All right, lots of updates this week, so we should just get right to it. It's race week for Odyssey Swim Run Mackinac Island. Woo-woo. Make sure to sign up if you haven't already. There's still space. Use the code LOWTIDE15 to save 50% off your registration. And make sure you follow our Instagram channel, where our two LTBZ field correspondents, Tristan Amy from Team Adorkable, mm-hmm. will be, quote-unquote, covering the event. So that's going to be as enjoyable for us to watch and yes. sort of feed our FOMO that it is for everyone else. So they're awesome. So thank you, Tristan and Amy, for doing that. But that race is going to be great.
Can't wait.
Over in Portugal, the Zezere Swim Run is happening in just a few weeks. So this race is taking place on September 5th. It's a very important weekend for swim running and offers two distance options. Now, if you're in need of a swim run holiday, you should definitely check out this
race.
Might
be the one.
They're great. We're also just a few weeks away from the Breca Swim Run Jersey. This race is taking place on September 4th. It's also the UK National Swim Run Championship.
Oh.
I don't know if it's the first one. I couldn't, my 2 minutes of internet research.
No.
Might be.
Could be.
Could be. We've talked about this race before. It's 100% on the bucket list. I didn't even know that England had places like Jersey. Same thing with Isle of Scilly. So very much looking forward to going over there. Now, over in Sweden, we all know the World Championship is happening, as well as the Final 15 race. But ML Swim Run, which is put on by my favorite race company name, A to B Events, took place over the weekend. And the race looked awesome. And we were really stoked to see that the ultra distance, which we talked about about a month ago, actually ended up happening. So they had enough participants to make it happen. So... awesome. So stoked. I'm going to take full responsibility for that for my 2 second plug like a month and a half ago. Now, finally, the 10 Island Swim Run also took place over the weekend. And with this 20K race in Gothenburg lacks in form of a creative name, it definitely makes up for it with being super hard, but also super fun course. You should definitely check out their Instagram page, which we link in the show notes, to see some like real, truly epic race photos. I mean, these photos are awesome.
Love it.
Awesome.
Love it.
That's it for this week. Reach out to us if you have any news you'd like for us to share on the show.
Now for this week's interview with Michael Lamel, co-founder of Atala.
Yeah, so this week's guest doesn't need an introduction from anyone who's familiar with Swim Run, but we'll give one anyway.
We'll do it anyway.
He is the co-founder of Atala, is one of the most important figures in the sport. He and his team at Atala's approach to adventure racing, race directing, protecting nature, and building communities help build the global swim run movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was at the beginning. We covered a lot of ground in this interview, recording pretty much on the eve of the 15th edition of the Swim Run World Championship. We discussed the past, present, and future of swim run.
Around the world.
Yeah. And he was super cool.
He was great.
He was very cool. I don't know what I was expecting.
I don't know what I was expecting either.
But yeah,
but
I was just
very, I was
yeah,
very
he was amazing.
Satisfied and happy with
yeah,
the interview.
Yeah, he was great. I think I was kind of like, you know, was a little scared of him because he's like Michael Lamel or whatever, but he was just a cool dude. Which
he was
I don't
a great
know.
Guy.
Maybe in hindsight, I don't know what we would expect.
And I don't know what he was expecting from us. Were we going to throw him on the grill or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
But
it was
anyway,
good though.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
But without further ado, after again much ado, Michael Lamel.
We're super lucky to have Michael Lamel on the show this week, pretty much on the eve of the 15th edition of Atala, the Swim Run World Championship. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, guys. It's an honor to be joining you guys for a chat and see where we can go with this.
Well, the honor is definitely all ours.
Yes.
Now, this is the 15th edition of this legendary race. How are you and the team feeling about, you know, making it to 15 years and the race that's about to happen here in a few weeks?
Well, after last year where we had to pull out and not be able to do the race, I have to say it feels fantastic to put on the race again. And I spoke to Johanna yesterday and she was you know, she was so energized saying that it's just so nice to work with a plan that was so good in 2019 and to continue to tweak it and make something even better out of it this year. So I think that speaks for all of us that we are really stoked that we can continue with what we're doing. It's been tough and still is quite tough, but we are pushing ourselves forward. And I think with the help of and the energy and the love that we get from everybody, it certainly makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had a great, successful Attila Gothenburg a few weeks ago as well, which seemed to be a smash hit from everything that we saw here in the States. But it seems everything is, the excitement's building as the day gets closer.
Excitement's building for sure. Gothenburg was fantastic. We were extremely fortunate with the weather window that we were allowed. We had a first 550-ish racers for the day, and it was the first time we put on all races in one day too. So It was quite a lot of new things that happened that day, and it worked extremely well. And it also gave us a whole platform of new things that we want to do there next year. So I think that race will be even, you know, I think we can up that a couple of notches for next year already. So things are moving in the right direction.
That's great. Awesome to hear. No doubt that you guys will. And sort of it's very, so you had the first edition of the Gothenburg race. Now let's try to take it back to the very early days of the first days or the first years of the World Swimrun World Championship. When you and Mats were kind of working with the original four and putting this race together, did you sort of have this early vision of how big Swimrun or Attila would be at the time, 15 years later, putting on your 15th version, or 16 years later, putting on your 15th version? Did you see that in the future, or where did you envision it going?
Well, I think from the onset, we wanted to make a race that created some sort of a mark. We really didn't have a vision of how many years or what, but I mean, to sort of set the stage, I mean, Mats and I were racing in adventure racing in 2006, and we were looking at building some sort of a legacy race in Scandinavia. So we were looking at making an adventure race from the coast of Norway to the coast of Sweden along the Arctic Circle when we found out or we heard about the original bet and the original four that had swam and run twice, or not really run, but swam and managed to get themselves from Utah to Skumhams. Two times, and when we were asked to see if we could make something commercial out of it. And I mean, from the start, we felt that this was the race that would become our legacy race. And I still have the maps and everything from our adventure racing plan, but we scrapped that pretty quickly and just put our energy into Attila because it really symbolized what Mats and I loved. And that was this kind of seamless motion through nature where whatever obstacles come up in front of you, you just find a way to move past them. And that was sort of the vision that we had with Attila, and that we wanted it to become a legacy of how to move in nature.
You know, I mean, it's great that you put it in those terms, because that's definitely what we've experienced. And, you know, we spent a lot of time on the show talking about the quote unquote magic of Swimrun. And I think if I can speak for Chipper, we really feel like there really is something magical about once you get into your Swimrun flow state, where you're moving with your partner, you're taking what the terrain gives you, you're dealing with the elements, getting from point A to B, or doing a loop, whatever the course calls for. And it seems like once people find out or discover this magic, that it's something that they gravitate towards, and it's sort of resulted in so many people being into Swimrun and becoming a global movement. Now, as someone who's essentially at the epicenter of this movement, is that something that you also see every time you put on a race, or you know, in the history of Attila, have you seen that magic?
Well, I I share the magic, I was going to say, because I mean, even though we are on the organizing side, the purpose for us to put on races and when we design courses, it's not just to design a course, it's to sort of find the best way or the best flow and the best balance through this terrain where we have decided to put up a race course. So, I mean, even though we're not actually doing the race, we're also flowing with it and trying to, I mean, we spend hours just on sections of forest where we want to find the right trail or the right feeling or the right motion. And we spend time on swim entries and exits so that, you know, you can find the seamless motion. So, and then of course, when you see the glow in people's eyes when they cross the line and realize what they've done together with somebody else, even on their own, I mean, we see it in the solos, but I think it's even more apparent in the team racing where people have shared the ups and downs of moving through nature, and where at sometimes one of us or the other has difficulties finding the flow state, and you get helped from your partner to find it again. And I think, I mean, it's a magical feeling, and that's one of the reasons why we, I mean, we make a point of being at the finish line until the very, very end to show the appreciation of everyone making that effort to find, to feel and to find the way of moving in nature that we've, sounds pretty philosophical, but I mean,
that's okay. It's a safe space for that.
I think that when you've experienced it, you kind of understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see it, you know, everyone we talk to, it's, you know, usually it's like the first swim transition or something, or, you know, way before they get to the finish line where they're like, what is happening? This is so amazing. And if you're, I guess if you have a predisposition to enjoying that type of experience, and swim run is definitely the sport for you. But going back to some of those early days, now we've heard some really funny stories from Mats and Jonas about kind of you know, the old days of people having inflatable Nokia
cell phone rafts
and stuff. Now, are there any particular stories that stick in your mind from those days where you were just like, oh man, like the sport was so crazy back then?
Well, I mean, I think the Nokia phone is for sure the decisive moment of is this going to become something or not? Because, I mean, Petri and Ville, we know very well, and we knew very well as you know, they were adventure racing world champions at the time, and we raced a lot against each other all the time. And when we put on the first race, we had no expectation that anyone would think that far outside the box and just come with these inflatable Lilos that were in the shape, you know, they were Nokia adventure racing teams. So they came with inflatable Nokia Lilos, and
genius branding, by the way. Yeah. Nokia's part. Great job.
It
that.
Was. And they were fortunate too, that the wind was favorable so that they could ride those the whole way. And I mean, what the story doesn't tell is that Petri's phone ripped on one of the islands, I would say probably 2/3 of the way down. And he then, as the rule was that you had to bring what you brought, he carried it and swam and dragged on the feet of Villa, who was sitting lying on top of his. So, I mean, I think they had quite an adventure with their phones too.
Man,
and at the end of that race, we decided very quickly that okay, it won't be a bring whatever you want to the race. A no rules race. It was the first time we said okay, we have to set a rule, and we have to set a flotation rule, and that was after the first year, because I mean, it wouldn't have become a sport if people swam around the Stockholm Archipelago on inflatable mattresses.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it was a decisive moment. It was funny, but It was just also one of those when they stepped out of the hotel at the start line with those things, and I was like, oh shit.
It's like they've cracked the code.
Uh-oh.
And then some year, I think one or two years later, there was another team that came with these inflatable inner tubes because they didn't exceed the actual size of the flotation that we had then. So they laid on these inflatable inner tubes. It wasn't as successful, but it was just another way of trying to get down the course until people realized, and we also changed the rules to the point where, I mean, it became the swim run swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was very fortunate. I mean, Mats and I weren't swimmers at the time. And so we really didn't realize, I mean, the first race, we said that everybody had to wear a life jacket underneath their wetsuits because we didn't want people to sink and so on. So along the course of the way, and with some guidance of our racers, we still listen a lot to our racers to see if we need to modify or change something. We started seeing a couple of years ago, as an anecdote, we started seeing these very long swim fins, and again we sort of changed that again because all of a sudden the top teams were coming with these massive fins. It was like, okay, this is really going to change the game. So we took those away, and I think we have a good setup at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, as you kind of spoke to it, the sport has like evolved so much in the last 15 years, and then specifically around the gear part that we're talking about here. And as we were talking about the flow state, you know, we're seeing the teams that are setting the course records on Attila are having these really minimal setups. So you go from having giant Nokia floating rafts to almost just giant pole buoys and your shoes and your paddle. So very, very slim down, minimalist setup. Do you kind of see that evolution continuing, or where do you kind of see the next phase of this, the swim run specific gear going? I mean, Arc and Head and everyone leading the way on the charge there.
Well, I think the suits are changing dramatically, with Arc definitely being in the front with changes. And I think that we'll see more changes going forward with different kinds of materials and getting rid of neoprene and so on and so forth. I mean, I think there's still quite a bit to evolve on the suit side. And I think then it also has to adapt to the water temperature and people. I mean, in the beginning, we said that the swim run season was from mid-May till mid-September. I mean, after that or before that, it was much too cold. And now we swim every month of the year when there's no ice. Mm-hmm. So I think we as how would you call it, people who practice the sport and the gear is evolving together. And I see that, I mean, a couple of years ago, we saw some very, very big pull buoys and we then set the size regulation so it wouldn't become absurd with these massive things between people's legs.
Yeah.
And I think now, I mean, you see the front teams or the absolute best teams, very, very few of them have tow ropes. I mean, they're such strong swimmers and they're so even, so they just swim on each other's feet or in the suction and in the draft of the others. So I think the sport will continue to evolve, and as people practice the sport more and more and get better and better at it, sometime along the way we might have to look at the size of hand paddles, because I mean, it for sure, if somebody in the is swimming with toilet seats and others can't even swim with normal hand paddles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, I think we're going to have to look at some sort of a size decision, but we're not there yet. And I think most people realize that very few can actually swim with those massive paddles for long races. It's better to go down a size to, right, you know, have an efficient and more higher cadence in your stroke. But I think we'll see things in the shoe world moving forward too. I think there's a lot to do there. I mean, the grip is up with a lot of shoes, but I think with weight and how they can fan out somehow to make your feet not drag as much, I think is quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I totally see that there's all this room for evolution. I mean, I've said this before, but I think Daniel Sand is the Da Vinci of swim run. So mm-hmm. if he's listening, I'll say that to everyone who'll listen. yeah, and I think the evolution is really amazing because it's coming from, for the most part, it's coming from within. You know, it's participants, it's people who are very familiar with the sport, who are essentially moving it forward. And you're seeing that with, you know, not just with gear, but also with different formats around the world. Like you're seeing a lot of these new formats like EX Swim Runs, ARC Super Sprint event. In Italy, they're doing what they're calling the World Solo Swim Run Championship. How do you feel about all these formats popping up and sort of the proliferation, if you will, of swim run around the world?
Well, I'll go back to what you said about Daniel Sand, and I agree with you. I mean, he came to me and to us quite early, or very early on. I think it was in 2011 or something, and started talking about free ride swimming and how we could change wetsuits to become more, looking more at the free ride skiing world and making things more free. And that's when we started developing the head suits together. And then mm-hmm. he then evolved to ARC and so on. And of course he has got incredible knowledge and he's got a drive to find new solutions. And around him, you know, he's got some very good athletes who can give great feedback and so forth. So I still think that, I mean, like we said, there's going to be an evolution. And in the same way, making the segue into the racing, I mean, there is an evolution when it comes to racing and how races will evolve. And I mean, I think it's fantastic that we find more ways, and I mean we by the swim run world or community finds more ways of practicing the sport and opening it up to new people who can find a way into the sport and realizing what it is and becoming an advocate of swim run. And for example, I mean, the super sprint, brilliant. I think we'll see more of that. And I mm-hmm. think, I mean, I know that we will see everything from very fast, very simple races to very long, very difficult, how would you call it, expedition style races, mm-hmm. which are multi-day races. And I think, and we'll see relays, we'll see, you know, solo, we'll see teams as we have today, but we'll also see three or four people teams. I mean, that's what's so cool with this, that just, it's an organism that evolves a little bit like, a virus.
Yeah.
You know, it just spreads, and I think it's cool whatever way it spreads, because I mean, the values behind it, I think, is more important that they sort of remain the same, and which they are. It's a way of enjoying nature and moving in nature, and I mean, we believe very strongly that the more time you spend in nature, the more you tend to care about nature and the status of the waterways and the status of the forest and you start, you know, making different changes and choices. And I mean, that's the purpose of the whole thing, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking from myself, and I guess Chris, he always speaks for me. So I'm gonna take one back on my side. Since we've started really investing more, and you know, we're identifying as swim runners now, and we're practicing every weekend and all this stuff, I have it is so interesting that the swim run flow and that flow state you get does really sort of ramp your appreciation for nature here. And we're in California, and we have some pretty severe wildfires burning right now, actually. But yeah, it is something that I don't know, but they seem to go hand in hand. The more into swim run you get, the more sort of environmentally conscious you get, and you do start paying more attention to everything around and how to treat nature in a better way so you can keep enjoying it for longer. And I think the Utala and other swim run organizations as well have the same value of nature as we all need.
Well, I think that's the that's the ultimate goal, that we become more aware of what's around us. I mean, people, yeah, animal, and the nature that we are in, and that we're fortunate to be able to be in. I mean, in a lot of places around the world, you can't even do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when we start appreciating that, I think we also start taking more care of it. And I think if we can get more people to get to invest in those thoughts, then I think it's better that we have races all over the place in, yeah, different kinds of formats and whatever.
Yeah. So Michael, this is a part of the show where I butcher some Swedish sayings. But, you know, there's something I want to talk a little bit about, sort of the culture of swim run. And, you know, as one of the key figures in, again, sort of creating the global swim run movement, there's a term that we heard. It's laget fore jaget. I'm sure I screwed that up, but essentially, yeah, team before ego. Now that's something that, you know, it's sort of in the ethos of swim run, where you look after each other, you look after your partner, you look after everyone else who's racing, and you look after the environment that you're in. And that seems like to just be in the DNA of the sport. Is that something that you think was intentional, or is it just something that it's just, you know, the values that you guys put into it from the beginning?
Well, how would I say this? Mats and I came from adventure racing.
Yeah.
And in 2006, we had been racing for 16 years. Or we had been friends for 16 years, and we'd been racing for 11 years, adventure racing. And in adventure racing, you know, the team is definitely the only thing, because you race in teams of four, and it was the same feeling that we brought into the original Utilas from the beginning, being that you had to be a team of two. Mm-hmm. From a safety standpoint, but also from the fact that, you know, you're willing to push yourself a little bit more when you have somebody else dependent on you. And you also are more aware of that person, and you can sort of feed each other with energy in both directions. So, I mean, it was definitely something that comes from the way that, it comes from much of my relationship, I would say, mm-hmm, as that is what we spoke about being important in the early races. And it's still something that we speak about being important. And that, I think, has then transcended into the whole community from everyone who has been part of it. And then now the community is much bigger than we are. And I think it's the way that you guys, I'm meaning you being the community, mm-hmm, is forming the future of the community. And I mean, we're all part of this community, and we're all part of forming the future of it. And I mean, we can decide, do we want it to be sharp elbows and ego, or have we had enough of that in the rest of our lives? And can we make this a place where that's not the way we do it? And I think at the moment, that's where we're at. And as long as, I mean, it's the community that shapes the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that what you guys have been able to do from the beginning, I mean, I think that there's so many sports that change and turn into, you know, something that's more commercial and more cutthroat, and like you said, sharp elbows out. The fact that Atallah has been able to sort of foster this community for the last 16 years, I think is really special. Now looking forward, so we've been talking about the past. You know, what do you see happening sort of short term, sort of let's say the next 5 years? Like, where do you see the growth of the sport happening in swim run from your vantage point?
Well, I'll take a step back again and to comment what you just said. I was fortunate to work for Patagonia for a few years. And at the time, Yvon Chouinard was very clear on the fact that, I mean, if Patagonia was not a commercial company, it would not be able to donate money to environmental organizations, mm-hmm. and the company could not foster this ethos of caring. And I think it's the same way for us in a way that, I mean, we have to be commercial, and people sometimes, you know, give us grief for being commercial, but I mean, we have to be commercial because we won't exist without being commercial. Yeah. And we want to stay in this for the foreseeable future. And, you know, it's a balance. It's a game of keeping your ducks in line. And at the end of the day, we have to be able to pay the bills. But at the same time, we want to do it with the right outlook. So the sport will become more commercial because, I mean, at the moment we're seeing a lot of, or in 2019, I would say a lot of races that grew a lot and became big. And all of a sudden, you know, you have to make a decision if you want to leave your daytime job to be able to manage a race that's grown to a proportion where you don't have the time for it unless you leave your daytime job. Mm-hmm. And some races stopped and fell off the wayside. And some are trying to become more commercial. And I mean, it's sort of the natural evolution of being successful in putting on your events. And it's a really difficult step to make. And then, you know, with the whole pandemic and what has been and what still is, I mean, it is still, you know, a sport that needs some sort of, you know, how would you call it, energy forward, so that you can keep pushing. So we will continue to push as long as we have the energy and the strength to push forward. And so coming to your question, then, how do I see the future? Well, I hope that, you know, we can get back to having races, and not just we, but the whole swim run world can come back to having races. At the moment, I think a lot of people are enjoying the activity of swim run and maybe even bringing more people into it because they don't have as many races to focus on, and the focus has more become sort of experiencing swim run and not pushing as hard to do the work to excel or whatever, where swim run becomes more of a broader activity, which mm-hmm. I think in the long run and the flow of things is good, because the broader the base, the more people will then look for races to participate in, and the sport will continue to grow. Yeah. But, you know, we have to get through this or learn to live with this pandemic and find a way to interact with it. I mean, COVID's not going away tomorrow. It's going to stay for a while.
Yeah.
And there will be other things. So it's a constant evolution. And we go back to this, you know, that I said from the beginning, we have to be sort of like an organism that evolves based on the environment we're in.
So speaking of COVID, obviously, as you mentioned, last year was very difficult for all sectors of life. But speaking specifically for Atala, are there any lessons that you're going to take from that time to apply to the future for the company and for races?
Yeah, I think you might see it a little bit already. I mean, we need. I think travel trends will probably change quite a bit, and we believe that people will travel a little less, or we hope people will travel a little less, and therefore we need to build races where there is some sort of a customer base locally. I mean, dream locations like the Outer Hebrides or something like that might not be the smartest way to go, but you know, having a race in Catalina where there's quite a lot of endurance athletes quite close by is and a direction. Gothenburg is the same, where we can find really cool environments, but where there is an endurance community that is closer, so that not everyone has to travel to a destination.
Yeah.
Then we can mix that up with some really cool destination events, but they will probably be smaller or one-offs or whatever. But at the moment, we just need to, get back to having races that are functioning, and so that we can start building our team again, because we're quite few doing quite a lot, and we're few doing quite a lot. And we hope we don't burn our team out. I mean, that's the balance we're playing with at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely intense around for sure. So 2020 was, it started off amazing for us. Chris and I, we kicked off the show originally, actually, to just sort of document our training as we were doing Atala Catalina, and there was a lot of interest in swim run in the States that came from that. Now this year at the Swim Run World Championship, there's four teams that are full American, and there's one team that's a North America team, one Canadian and one American. What do you think kind of needs to happen in the U.S. for swim run to get more athletes interested in these international races and trying to qualify and race the world championship?
Well, this year in 2021, I think is a little difficult, I would say, because I wouldn't call it the norm as you know, people are still concerned about traveling and so on. So, if we have a future where we can travel easier and there aren't as many travel restrictions in all directions, I don't know if you saw it, but we posted on Facebook just recently that I mean, looking at 2022 ranking selections, the fact that we only had very few races in 2020, I mean, merit races and hotelier races where you collect ranking points. And again, the same in 2021 means that in the next 3 months and the races that are available in the next 3 months, they will decide quite a lot of how the ranking will look, meaning that it's still wide open. Now, looking at the calendar, there's three big races in the U.S. where you can collect ranking points. You have the Orcas race, the Odyssey and Orcas Islands, and then Swim Run NC. And of course, then we have Catalina in the end of November. And based on that, I mean, if you have U.S. racers who are keen to do the world champs, by having done, some of the races that you've put in, I mean, you've been fortunate this year. You've had five big races that are, that give ranking points by the end of the year, unless something really goes sour. That will put few American teams quite high up in the ranking. So that's one thing. And I think the inspiration that these teams will get and when coming to Europe to race for the World Champs will also create more of a feed for more racers participating in the US events to qualify. And I mean, we're trying to create a balance with, you know, that if you are a US-based racer, you can race in US races and do well and get enough ranking points and qualify on ranking so that it's not, you know, off balance with too many people getting points in Europe so that we don't mm-hmm. have enough mm-hmm. American or North American racers. And in the future, I mean, if we can get our finances together and we can see growth when it comes to the sport and for our races, then I mean, we of course want to find new locations in the US and build more Attila races in the US.
I mean, that would be great.
You could just put us down for yeah. those. We'll sign up.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm pretty sure we're the first people to have signed up for Catalina this year when registration opened. You know, don't quote me on that, but we were there. We're on that pretty early because, yeah, I mean, once when we did that race, I think for us, the Catalina experience was transformative in many ways, but not just because, you know, because it was a great event and we had a lot of fun, but also because, you know, it seemed to us that the community that we've become accustomed from our limited experience in Swimrun up to that point was global. I mean, we'd done some local races, and this we basically got the same vibe from the international crowd that was at Catalina, which was pretty awesome. Now in terms of so we would love for you to add more races in the US if that can happen.
We'll just put the official request in right now.
Are there any other locations? Are there any other locations that you would consider that you see room for growth? Like, is it South America? Is it Australia? Any other areas of the world where you think that it's ripe for Swimrun expansion, so to speak?
For our sake or for the sport, you mean?
For both, I think.
Well, I think, I mean, we already see races popping up in South America, and I think it's really cool. Same thing in Australia. Again, it's been quite limited in the last last year and a half, and I think we have to, you know, wait to see what the post-COVID world will start doing, but and in New Zealand and so on, in Asia, I think, you know, in Japan, there's Japanese Swim Run Association two ladies that started it. They raced in the Isles of Scilly. You know, I think we have, or before COVID, we had lots of questions and requests from South Korea, you know, and when the train starts rolling again, I think that we'll see more and more races popping up in all over the world. And, you know, there's fantastic locations that could, you know, foster incredible races. And there's certainly enough athletes around the world who both run and swim well. So, you know, I think the future of the sport is quite bright. And then what the formats become in the future and how they evolve, I think will depend a little bit on who does the pushing in what direction. And, you know, we'll, like I said before, we'll see city events, we'll see lots of different things. And I think it's important because that way we can get more people into the sport. And going back to, you know, what you said about Catalina, I think one, Catalina this year will be even better. You know, we learned a lot of things last year. This year, the temperature and in the water and the air is, you know, it's a drier period of the year, and I think that can add a little bit to the fun. And you know, the fact that, I mean, you have been so successful in pushing your show and what you guys do and bringing Swimrun to everyone, I think also helps grow the sport in every direction, because, you know, I really don't think there's a right and wrong. I think the only way is, you know, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely our outlook when we're talking to folks as well, whether if they're race directors. I mean, there's the Burleigh quote-unquote swim run down in Australia. That's literally just one swim and one run, but it's still a swim run to us. And if that's what if that's the event that it takes for somebody to jump on and get the bug and then to start looking for other swim runs, we're cool with that. And if that's what it needs to be, and sort of pivoting back to your point there, like, it sounds like you're letting the community kind of dictate where the next growth is going to be. So if it is sort of the, you know, could be in the Japanese Swim Run Association, like you said, if there's a big swell there and there's a lot of races popping up, I'm sure that catches the team's eye, and same with the United States and all areas around. So,
and I mean, there's still so much to do everywhere. So it's just a question of, I mean, we don't think that we will be able to manage to do everything, and we certainly don't think that we need to do everything. And I mean, for example, you know, all our merit races in the US are doing a fantastic job, and I think it's just a question of, you know, plugging away and sticking to it, because I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, and I think the swim run movement is strong enough and broad enough that it will just keep creating a wave that we all have to sort of ride on. And when we decide to get off and it's time to get off, then that's that.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else will be riding up front without a doubt.
Right.
You know, I think that's a cool part of it. It's just evolving and people are doing fun things, and the better, you know, it's so easy nowadays compared to when we were adventure racing, because in that time, you know, you had to make everything for TV or for magazines or whatever. And now you can just communicate straight out in these digital channels. And if you can, you know, find a groove in a digital channel, then things are moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Piggybacking off that a little bit, I mean, one sort of channel, if you will, that I think a lot of people get turned on to swim run is from these, well, we're calling them like your Otila, the hype videos from the races or the teaser videos after. And we've had Rasmus on the show, and I know you've had a team working many years before, but Otila was really kind of on the forefront of investing in what was a medium that wasn't super popular at the time. It's now videos having a huge quote unquote moment now, if you will, but what sort of fostered the investment in video to sort of promote the swim run?
Well, we were really early with communicating a lot. We took a completely different stance when we started adventure racing in 95, where we decided that we would put a big effort into communication and not just, you know, racing, and communication as a way to create value around what we were doing so that we could generate sponsors and to create an income from it. Mm-hmm. And I think in 2000 we raced in Nepal, and at the time we had a team with us that was sending over Inmarsat, you know, the over satellite link. It was absolute new technology that was developed. Inmarsat are these satellites that use in the marine world, and we had a new technique where we could, you know, send live video already in 2000. So we have been involved in creating image communication from the very, very beginning. And we've put a lot of weight to it. Also, you know, deciding what the feeling and the message should be in the communication. And I think it's a way of generating interest and growth, where where people, and not growth for us, but growth for the sport, because people become intrigued to see what is this. And we always want to create the feeling of, wow, what is that? I would like to try that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think so many people discover swim run from that, you know, alone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, I'm actually right now going through the details of the World Championship communication plan, and we are doing a Facebook Live show during the World Champs, and you know, it's
awesome.
Minute by minute communication,
yeah,
or details and who does what, where, and how. And you know, it's really fun, and it's so important that we try to, you know, continue to try to push the limit of what's possible in that world and try new things. I mean, with Oscar and Adriel running around in Engadine and doing inside, you know, swim run was fantastic. And you know, it's really cool to try to bring the experience into the lap of the viewer, and so that you feel that you're really part of what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's always been our ambition, to bring the viewer into what we're doing and to strike some sort of emotional chord within the viewer.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. I think what livesporttv.se is doing, I mean, we're Chipper and I are in a unique position because we've talked to a lot of the top teams. We've, you know, we love George and Pontus, and, you know, we've had an opportunity to chat with Desiree and Fanny and just really amazing people in the sport. And we think they're amazing, and we think other people will think they're amazing, but it's different when you get to see them before a race and talk to them and ask them questions. And I think that format, I think, is going to be really helpful to help grow the sport. But mm-hmm. I want to ask you, you know, one final question before we let you go. You know, what keeps you super motivated on swim run and expanding the sport? I mean, what continues to fuel your passion, I guess, is what I'm asking, because you're obviously, you know, we see you as you know, almost like the high priest of swim run in many ways, and at the center of this global movement. But I'm just curious, you know, what fires you up?
Well, thank you. For one, I mean, I've taken the role to be in the front line, but I mean, the work that Mats and Johanna and Emma and Brandon and Dominic and Lauritz and everybody does, I mean, they don't get the limelight in the same way, but I mean, this would be nothing without whatever they do, and or not whatever, everything that they do.
Yeah.
And I mean, Mats and Johanna are race production geniuses, and what they're doing is just exceptional. So I mean, I might get a lot of credit for what we're doing, but you know, I'm just the pretty face, I was going to say, but I'm not the pretty face anymore. I'm too old for that. But what keeps me fired? Well, I mean, if you spend a day at the finish line and you see the fire in people's eyes when they cross the line, and you feel the energy that they're emitting, it becomes a drug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that keeps me going for sure. Without a doubt. It gives me energy to continue to find new ways to develop what we're doing, to think in different ways and, you know, see how we can evolve so we never become stagnant.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. I love that. I mean, speaking of finish lines, I don't know if there's no reason for you to remember this, but when we crossed the finish line at Catalina, you were there obviously, and you gave us a hug, and I made a joke where I was like, I have a complaint, and you looked at me very seriously, yeah. And you're like, you know, like oh my goodness, like what happened, you know, like, and I was like, yeah. I didn't see any bison, and you were like, all right, guys, all right, just. Go get some nutrition or something.
Yeah, didn't I say there's one behind? Because there was a bison just up the field there.
Yeah, we didn't see it. We didn't see it.
Oh, well.
But
this year.
Well,
I'll be sure to show you one this year.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll need a tour to see one.
Well, Michael, we really want to thank you so much for taking the time. We wish you the best of luck at the 15th edition of Atala, the Swim Run World Championship. We'll be watching. We'll be rooting for everyone to have a great day out there. And yeah, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, guys. And I'm surprised you were too nice. You didn't have any trick questions for me.
Oh, man. Next time.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. We'll see you in Catalina.
I look forward to that.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music. And, of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line. And just keep going until you're done.
Yes. Or
until you cross the finish line.
Or run to the car.
Or run to your car.
Somewhere. Just keep running. Peace. Only happiness.